O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. As you know, I love stories. Ed Friedman, who was an accomplished family therapist, in fact, he wrote a book called Generation to Generation. Some of you know the book. And a few years before his death, he wrote another little book called Friedman's Fables. And one of the fables in that book is entitled The Bridge. At the beginning of the story, we're introduced to a man who has begun a new journey at midlife. This time with great purpose and great hope. And with the true purpose in his life, he set out on this journey. And finally, he thinks, my life is beginning to make sense and I can make a difference in the world. And he's gaining momentum on his journey, but just as he's crossing a bridge, he meets another man head on. And the stranger has a rope tied around his waist. And as he meets our focused friend, he asks him to stop and take hold of the rope, the other end of the rope. And he was shocked, and so he took the rope, and before he knew what was happening, the stranger jumped over the bridge. And he's standing there holding the rope and the stranger dangling between the bridge and the water, between life and death. And the stranger begs the man at the top to hold on to him, for his life is in that man's hands. Well, what do you think he did? You don't know. He was caught in a dilemma. If he lets go of the rope, then the man dies and he feels guilty. But then on the other hand, if he stands there holding on to the rope, he would risk pushing off his purpose in life, his going on his journey, his focus. And so he yelled down to the man at the bottom of the rope, hey! Tell you what I'll do. I'll hold on for a few moments, enough time for you to allow yourself to pull yourself up. Just wrap the rope around your waist and slowly come up and save yourself with my support. And the man at the other end of the rope was full of fury and panic. And he said, no, you can't do such a thing. You can't mean what you say. You would not be so selfish. I'm your responsibility. What could be so important that you'd let someone die? Don't do this to me. So the man on the bridge waited for a few moments, and there was no change in the situation at the man at the other end of the rope. And he said, well, I accept your choice. And he let go of the rope. And he resumed his journey toward his purpose. When I read that story first, I was horrified. Now, how could anyone be so cruel? Any self-respecting person would be standing there holding that rope. Our tough love, me first world has gone too far. If this could be wholehearted story could be seen as healthy, I think. And then I thought about today's gospel reading. And you say, what on earth does that have to do with the story I just told? Well, in these four short verses, Luke packs it with emotion and energy. And they come to at a crucial point in the ministry of Jesus, in the journey of Jesus. In Matthew, this lament over Jerusalem is found in Holy Week, right after Palm Sunday, before Maundy Thursday. But in Luke, it's right in the middle of his gospel. He describes a scene much earlier when Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. In fact, Luke emphasizes over and over again in his gospel that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, on his journey. Luke mentions Jerusalem 90 times in his gospel. That's more than any of the other writings in the New Testament combined. On his way to Jerusalem, the holiest of cities, where God is adored in the temple and prophets are stoned again and again for telling the truth. Jerusalem is very important to Luke and very important to Jesus, because that is the culmination of his ministry. And there's one particular word in this gospel reading that you probably didn't notice, but it's very important. And the word is must, M-U-S-T. The word happens over and over again. Jesus must be on his way. He must go to Jerusalem. He must go to the temple. He must go to Gethsemane. He must go to Calvary. And he says the mission is not negotiable, not tentative, not changeable. And there's a passion burning in Jesus that he must do this. His call, his vocation. And nothing or anyone is going to dissuade him from it. Not the crafty old foxy Herod. Not the Pharisees, not the hurting, scared, needy people that's hanging on the edges of Jerusalem, begging him to save them, to fix them, to heal them. This word must leaps out to us, I think, because it begs the question, do we have any musts in our life? Is there a burning passion or a vision in your life that propels you, that energizes you to move forward, that gives you a purpose and value and strength? Some of the greatest leaders of our time had this driving must in their lives. Martin Luther King had this driving must in his life, in his dream. FDR had the New Deal. Nelson Mandela had this dream for 30 years of a free South Africa. Bishop Tutu had this must in his life, still has it, that drives him. Now, most of us won't come anywhere near embodying such lofty and powerful ideals, but that shouldn't keep us from discerning, especially in this time of Lent, discovering the meaningful must in our own living. Sometimes it means taking risks. Sometimes it means letting go of the rope and going on with your journey, whatever's holding you back. We may disappoint some people. But what is the driving force in your life? Is it a child that may disappoint or bring fear in our lives or mistakes? Or is it the vision for this church? Or is it a passion for justice? Or is it a professional ethic that demands that you stand against the status quo? You see, Jesus models the must for us. I must go to Jerusalem. I must go to Calvary. And our text suggests that on the way, Jesus pauses for a moment and looks at Jerusalem, at the Kidron Valley, at the Mount of Olives, and he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the broken city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. And because I cannot force you to come, because you're unwilling to grab the rope and pull yourself up toward life, I must be on my journey. I must go on. And you will not see me until it's too late, until the palm branches have been swept up, and until the bread is broken, until the nails are driven into my body, he would say, and my body is broken and laid to rest. But even on the cross, Jesus offers the invitation with wings outspread. When the person said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," he said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." You see, Jesus gives us a choice. God gives us a choice. He invites you to be gathered under the wings of God's love and grace, under the shadow of his wings of love. I don't know how many of you have been exposed to chickens, but in North Florida, my grandmother had chickens that ran in the yard. They were free-range chickens, but she didn't know it. And there would be an old hen with some chicks, and when that hen felt threatened, she would gather those chicks under her wings. And that's the imagery that Jesus is using. Come and be gathered under the wings of God's love and God's grace. And in the season of Lent, this holy must becomes a holy mystery. And through the grace and power of God, Jesus draws us away from our pain toward his, so that in and through his struggle, we may be healed. Gathered under the wings of love, a rural firefighter tells the story of battling a blaze out on the farm in a barn. And after they had extinguished the blaze and gone into the wreckage to find any smoldering embers, they noticed in the corner of a barn the remains of a hen, charred. And one of the firefighters took his stick and turned the body over, and beneath it, filled in the nest, was chattering chicks. And that's the image of Jesus, the image of God's love in our life. Come and be gathered under those wings. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I desired to gather you together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you would not. You see, the choice is always ours. And Jesus will go on with or without us. The choice is ours. May it be so for you and me. Amen.